And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac. And this is The Entrepreneurial Spirit starring Leanne Hall and Craig Dean. There's something funny on your cup, your Starbucks cup. We're not going to describe that, are we?
No, we're not. But I just saw it move.
Oh, no.
It's just where I put my gum.
Really? I thought you put them under the desk usually.
Oh, no.
Shh. All right. Have you seen that before, Craig?
Don't even get into that because okay. I owned a restaurant for 26
years. Oh,
you've
probably seen all sorts of things.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, I don't like coffee breath, so you got the gum right there.
Hey, there
afterwards.
We go. Wow. We're going to have to do coffee talk. Wasn't that Saturday Night Live?
That's right.
Anyway, special thank you to, of course, Martha Mertz from Athena International and Sue Ellen Allen, author of Slumber Party from Hell. And now we have some really great guests. Craig, you want to introduce these guests because they are phenomenal. I read up on them, and they're amazing.
Well, this is live with us is Debbie Waitkus, and on the radio is going to be Marilyn Smith. I just met Debbie a couple months ago because we're doing a golf tournament together for the Jewish National Fund. Actually, I should say Debbie's doing the golf tournament.
No.
Because she's leading all us men in a very quiet way. And Debbie is very involved in golf. Her business runs nonprofit golf tournaments, and she helps people raise money, and she happens to be very good at it. And she, because of this, she travels the country, and she's met a lot of fascinating people, one of which will be on the telephone with us, Marilyn Smith. And I read her biography. Oh, my God.
It's like a who's who, right?
Well, I mean, what an amazing, amazing woman, all because she tasted soap.
Wow. She said a bad word and something.
Yeah, she did. And her mother washed her mouth out with soap.
Wow.
And she was not allowed to play softball anymore. And her dad was a member of a country club.
Okay,
and said,
I remember this. Yeah.
I'm going to take you to the country club and teach you how to be a proper girl. And she became one of the leading female golfers of the world because of that.
What a miracle that is.
Yeah. That
See,
is.
There goes to show you, we should all cuss more.
And she was, you know, voted Miss Personality of the LPGA, one of the founding fathers, the first female.
Or founding mothers.
Father,
our mother,
yeah,
that's right. God, I can't believe I said that.
Really?
And she was also the first female broadcaster for the men's PGA tournament. I think it was in 1973 she was a broadcaster for the U.S. Open.
Well, wow. We'll have to ask Marilyn about
yes,
that.
Yes, yes.
And I think the first golfer in LPGA Tour history to score a double eagle.
Yes.
That's unbelievable.
Do you know what a double eagle is, Dave?
Yeah. Absolutely.
What's a double eagle, Dave?
That's an albatross.
Yes.
It's
an eagle
under
with
par.
Extra wings. Or
okay, Leanne, what's a double eagle?
Yeah, it's two under par.
Yeah.
No.
Birdie, eagle, three.
A double eagle is making your second shot on a par 5.
Well, that's what I meant.
Or your first on a par 4.
4, which is
that's more. Yeah, that's birdie, eagle, eagle.
Yeah, so we're right.
Birdie, eagle.
No, it's 3 under par.
Yes, birdie's 1,
yeah, three,
eagle's
3
two,
under par.
Eagle,
so oh, I said
birdie
two. Plus
an eagle is 2.
Yes.
Oh, an eagle.
Three. Birdie,
oh,
eagle,
a double eagle.
Eagle.
Okay, gotcha.
Also known as an albatross. The birds just keep getting bigger.
That's right.
What is going on here? Okay.
I think we have a future for Leanne in the golf industry.
Oh, whatever, Craig.
When you said par, I thought of Jack.
I can golf.
Jack
yeah,
par.
She is a good golfer.
Remember Jack Par?
I remember Jack Par. He was great.
Anyway, let's get into...
And Debbie's a good golfer. She won
She's
the longest driving
golfer.
Contest in the last
is that
tournament
right?
that I played. Yes.
Oh.
It's because she was with the wind.
Wow.
Oh, right.
No, it wasn't because I was with the wind. It was because everyone was against the wind yeah. later on
yeah.
in the day.
Yeah.
And you went to U of A on the soccer. You played soccer.
I did. I played all 4 years there.
Wow.
That's pretty yeah. cool, huh?
Jinx.
It is?
Well, because we said wow together.
Oh, is that what it means?
You know what?
Double eagle. Okay. So.
It was very cool. And one of the really neat things is that I got to see the whole Western United States by traveling with the team.
Wow.
And
oh,
coming from
great.
Buffalo out to the West for the first time, it was really quite a trip. But when we speak to Marilyn later, she'll let you know all the travels that she's done through golf and how it's enriched her life. And it's just an amazing thing as far as what sports does.
But so, Debbie, tell us a little bit about yourself. Where are you born and raised?
I was born in Buffalo, New York.
You don't sound like it, though.
Well, okay, good. Okay. We're upstate, not New York City.
Okay. And not Jersey.
Are you a Sabres fan?
Yes, actually the Sabres practiced at my high school, so
did
we were
really?
Very well indoctrinated with
the
Sabres.
The French Connection line?
The French
oh
Connection.
Oh my gosh. Are you kidding? What's a double eagle? Okay. What's a French Connection line?
Rainey Robert.
Yeah.
Rick Martin.
Yeah.
And Gilles Perreault.
Incredible. They were phenomenal.
I know
they
a French
were phenomenal.
Kiss.
And now we will demonstrate it. Right live on there. Okay.
We're going to a studio break.
Kurt, turn out the lights. Okay. So, wow, so you're a big hockey fan.
Well, I used to be. You know, when I moved out here, there wasn't much with hockey on the air or anything. It was tough. Even football, it was tough to watch a game here.
Because of the team, right?
Well, we didn't have teams. We didn't have teams.
Well,
they
we had
don't,
ASU.
They don't now either.
We had ASU. ASU was the only game in town for football.
That's right.
Yeah.
You're right.
Right. And well, I went to U of A, and I was amazed at the locals who would come out and bring their kids. And I'm thinking, you know, okay, I'm a Bills fan. You know, tailgates, sitting in the snow. And here they were, grandparents and parents bringing their children. And it was just a whole different scene for me.
So you played sports in high school?
Yeah.
Soccer?
Played soccer and tennis and basketball.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
So you lettered in all of them, I bet.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Have a ball. We'll run. We'll and a team. Uh-huh. Gotta go. Yep. But no golf.
No. And when did you take up golf?
I was pregnant with my daughter, and I had a knee injury when I played soccer. My final semester at the U of A blew out my knee. I've had an artificial knee since 1985.
You're kidding.
Really?
You may have had one of the first ones.
Well, I did actually have to sign off on blueprints. Like I knew what I was signing off on.
I hope that wasn't for the surgeon.
Where does the kitchen go? Wow.
But at any rate, you know, there is life after knee surgery. And because I don't run anymore and there were no team sports, a friend that I worked with, a colleague, actually dragged me out and told me I would just love this game. She had just learned from her uncle and I would love it too. And I have enough of an adventurous spirit to say, I'll try this. But, you know, of course, I was pregnant. So that was, you know, I had zero expectations and just truly had a great time with people that I worked with.
And that was here in Phoenix?
It was here. We played it in the Encanto 9.
Oh, gosh.
Man,
I love Encanto.
Remember,
I just
did you see on my golf bag? Remember, it had the Encanto 9?
It had the scorecard for the Encanto 9.
There you go.
It was one of my first places I ever played.
It was the first place I played.
And there was an eraser on that pencil.
There's something in her coffee, too. Wow, then Canto 9. So so you all have a lot in common, because I know, Craig, you are big time in golf. And so are you, aren't you, Leanne?
Well, being in construction, in order to get along with the guys, I knew it was either the bars or the golf course.
There you go.
I felt like the golf course was a lot safer. So I learned to golf so that I could do business.
So she got drunk on the golf course.
I did not. I got them drunk. And I won. I have a lot of drivers because I won a lot of long drives.
Yes.
Oh, now doing a high five.
What do we have in common,
Knuckles?
Dave?
We have
the French Connection.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, that was it. You're a hockey fan. No, we love pastrami.
Yes.
Brisket, right? Okay, let's get back to turn. I like this title, Turn Golf into Gold.
Yeah, I do, too.
I think Marilyn's. Actually, we should get Marilyn on the line.
Yeah, let's get Marilyn on the line.
All right, let's go to line one. Joining us is Marilyn Smith. Hi, Marilyn.
Hi, you sure are having a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I hear you. Great.
We almost forgot you were on line one there.
Marilyn, you should have let me come pick you up and bring you in here.
Oh, yes.
I'll meet them. I want to meet them.
Okay.
And just tell Leanne I'm political, too. I love politics, and I wish her a lot of luck.
Oh, thank you.
Yes,
thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Marilyn, I was so excited to read about you. Was that Ivory soap or Dove that your mouth was washed with?
Well, it wasn't Dove. I think it was Ivory. No, it wasn't Ivory.
Maybe it was Irish Spring.
You know what, no,
oh, that'd be good.
It was Lifebuoy.
It was Lifebuoy.
My gosh.
Yeah, I hadn't thought about that. I said a bad word after I came in from pitching a ball game with the boys. I was the pitcher, coach, and the manager of this boys' baseball team. And I learned this from the Sandlot. You know, my parents didn't swear. So I came in, and my mother said, well, how'd you do today, dear? And I took my mitt off and threw it against the wall, and I said, a four-letter word beginning with S. So she marched me in and marched. Well, I can still see her doing that to me. And oh, gosh, it was something else.
Soap doesn't taste very good. I had my mouth washed one time, too.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, oh, yes.
It didn't work.
You better not tell us what you said.
But this case, it did. It was a great blessing because look what you've accomplished, Marilyn. I mean, the 21 tour victories, two major title holders. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's some really good stuff. And co-founder for the LPGA Tour.
Well, you know, I'm very blessed. We gave birth to the LPGA back in 1950 in my hometown of Wichita, Kansas. And there were 13 founders, and that year we only had 13 tournaments, and the total prize money was $50,000. Can you believe that?
Wow.
So I was fortunate. I got a nice contract with the Spalding Sporting Goods Company, gave me $5,000 in an unlimited expense account, and they threw in two gloves, baseball mitts, and a ball for me, and a green Dodge that I got to drive around because I gave a lot of exhibitions. I must have given over 4,000 exhibitions, and I've been in all 50 states and 37 countries. I have to pinch myself.
Wow, no kidding.
Marilyn, where in North Dakota did you give an exhibition?
Fargo.
Okay. All right, that's where I'm from.
Marilyn, I just found out my son called me this morning, and he's in the Air Force. He's stationed in Washington, D.C. right now. Uh-huh. He's been there in the Pentagon, and he says, Mom, you'll never believe where I'm being deployed to, being my next tour of duty is.
Don't tell me Egypt.
Minot.
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 Minot, yes.
Yes, Minot. Well, I don't know. I've never been to North Dakota.
Oh, it's a beautiful state, and you know what?
That's where he's going.
They have the best budget. They're not in debt. That state is number one, actually.
Absolutely. You know, a year ago, they had a $4 billion surplus in North Dakota.
Isn't that something?
I think they've got a wonderful man. Is it Thune that's from there? Or
and it's that blood back there. People don't overextend themselves. They're not totally into materialistic type of living. As long as they have their John Deere tractors, they're happy.
Oh, my son said he did some background already to check and see what the city was like. He says, Mom, they've got a Best Buy and a Taco Bell. I said, oh, well, you're right. Good job, Josh.
You'll enjoy it. It's lovely people. The weather's a little grim in the winter.
Yeah, it is.
That's okay. So, go ahead.
And who are the most exciting people you've ever played golf with?
Well, my two idols in those days were Stan Musial, because I used to want to pitch for the St. Louis Cardinals.
Wow.
And Ben Hogan, and I got to play golf with both of them, and I was so nervous playing with Mr. Hogan. You know, I called him Mr. Hogan until
right.
he finally told me to call him Ben. But we both had 72s from the men's tees.
Oh, my
no
gosh.
Way.
But he missed 5 putts of 3 feet and under. That's when he was starting to putt poorly, you know.
Was he pretty intense to play with?
Oh, no, he was wonderful. He's a perfect gentleman, and he made me feel most very comfortable, really. He's very, very nice.
Marilyn, is that why you named your dog Benny?
No, I got him from the Humane Society, and his owner, poor thing, she had to turn him in. She lost her house, you know, and had to give him up, too. So he had the name Benny.
Have you ever played golf with any presidents?
No, but I've met 5.
Oh, and who have you met?
Well, Eisenhower. I met him at the Cherry Hills Country Club in Denver. I was there to give a golf clinic, and the pro said, well, the president's out there, so... My uncle was governor of Kansas and made the second nominating speech for Ike, so I was introduced as Governor Arnn's niece, not as a co-founder of the LPGA. And then after I met him, he promptly hit a punch shot under a tree up to the ninth hole. And then a very interesting meeting was John Kennedy when my parents and me were living in Tequesta, Florida, and the pro called me up and said, President-elect John Kennedy is going to tee off, and I said to myself, "Well, here my political coming in. I didn't vote for him, but I thought, well, I'd like to go out and meet him, you know." So I went out, and he looked so, you know, he's such a handsome man. He looked you right in the eye and shook my hand, and I'm a fan of his, you know.
Have you been a Democrat since?
No, I don't think he'd be a Democrat now, to be honest with you.
Probably not, no.
You want to get into politics or not?
No. We'll talk golf.
Yeah, okay. What about this tournament we're going to have in March?
Oh, the Founders Cup.
Oh, yes. Finally, the LPGA is back in Phoenix.
Well, you were talking earlier about leadership.
Yes.
I mean, here's an opportunity that the tour has taken to honor the leaders and those founders of the tournament and still look to the present as well as to the future with women's golf. And the commissioner has really done a great job in making this happen again. I mean, this has really been a mission of his. Wouldn't you say, Marilyn?
Yeah, and you know what, Debbie? The event will create worldwide the spirit of the founders, which was to leave the LPGA better than when they found it. And that's what I think, you know, people, it shows that the LPGA's heart really is in the right place. And you know how it's always feels good to give back. And I think most of the girls have really caught on to this. And like anything, they'll probably have to tweak it, you know, change it a little bit maybe next year. But we're going to get a wonderful field. I think 145 girls have already signed up to play in it.
And I can't remember which course you're playing on again.
It's at Wildfire.
Wildfire,
out of Desert Ridge.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's the perfect time to play here. It's right before the Kia in L.A.
Uh-huh.
There's Benny. You hear Benny? And then the
sounds like he just missed a putt.
He's meeting the people outside. They walk by with dogs, and then he says hello. I won't yell at him, though. I'll knock your ear out.
Let me ask you a question. How is the LPGA different from when it started till now for a lot of the listeners that may not understand golf?
Oh, golly, gumdrop. Well, I'll tell you, back when we started...
You're still swearing, I can tell.
I got the... it called? The life...
Life boy.
Life boy.
Back in the early days, you know, the late 40s and the early 50s, the girls were really... we weren't into sports. We weren't supposed to be on the golf course. You know, we were supposed to be married and have children. And when I went to the University of Kansas, my father went to Fog Allen, the director of sports, and asked if he could get some expense money for his daughter to play in the National Intercollegiate Golf Tournament. And he said, Mr. Smith, it's too bad your daughter is not a boy. So we didn't get any encouragement back in those days, Craig. That's one thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so we traveled by car. We had some physical struggles at first. We traveled by car. We couldn't afford air, most of us. And lots of times we'd drive caravan style, and when one person's car had a flat tire, you know, we'd stop and help. And one time we had to drive from Spokane, Washington, to Waterloo, Iowa. That's 1,600 miles. And then, of course, you look for you get your motel room and look for a laundromat, maybe a beauty parlor, and then you've got to go to Kiwanis or Lions Luncheon and radio and talk shows, anything to get publicity. We didn't have much publicity in those days. You know, if we ever got in the newspaper, it was usually on the back page. So we did a lot of PR, and the fact of am I talking too much?
No.
One, the thing that I really enjoyed doing was going into the major league ballparks. And I went to three of them, St. Louis, Cincinnati, and Washington, D.C. And before the game started, I would hit golf balls from home plate out to center field and then get the microphone and urge the fans to come out and watch the LPGA golfers. And one time, I have to tell you this is quite a story. Shirley Sporek is another LPGA co-founder, and we traveled together for about 6 months before she went off and became a head pro at the Ukiah Country Club in California. And we went to a boxing match, and we were supposed to get up, you know, in the ring after the fight was over and talk to the fans. Well, it was a very brutal fight. I won't go into it, but I got queasy. I couldn't go up there, but Shirley, bless her heart, she climbed through the ropes and grabbed the microphone and told the fans all about the girls playing at the U.S. Open and to come out and watch us play. That was back in 1950 or something like that, I think 50.
And, you know, Shirley's still playing golf. She came out for Maryland's charity golf tournament this past September and was a participating honoree. And Shirley shot a hole-in-one.
Oh, no way.
Way.
Wow.
Oh, my gosh.
Marilyn, are you still playing?
No, I have bum knees, and I was just interested when Debbie said she had
knee replacement.
I'm just scared to death to do it.
And well, you got
she
on
has
a computer,
the blueprints.
Marilyn.
She has the blueprints.
Marilyn, you've gotten a computer now, and you're working on that. I think you can do anything.
Well, I'll tell you. Anyway, Debbie's on our tournament committee, and we're getting ready to have our big tournament September 12th. And the money goes to my golf scholarship fund, which helps young women attend college. And last year, like Debbie said, Shirley Sporek, and we also had Carol Mann as an honoree. And this year, Joanne Carner's going to be with us.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So, and you can come in gallery. People can come out and watch us, and if anybody
would
wants
love
to
do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's interesting because I've played golf for 55 years.
Wow.
And I relate more to the LPGA than the PGA, because when I go watch the women play golf, I think I can do that. But when you go watch the men play golf, they're so powerful and what they do is just astonishing. So for me as a golfer, I learn more from watching the LPGA than I do the PGA.
Well, it's something it's easier to identify with. Yeah. It's more within our realm of reality,
right, yeah,
possibly.
Yeah, exactly.
Anything else. But you also asked before about the differences between the LPGA when Marilyn first started versus now. Mm-hmm. And she gave you some really good insight as to the adventures they had
when they were starting out.
But we have, I'm not an LPGA member. Listen, I'm saying we. The LPGA now also has, in addition to the tour players, they're the teaching professionals. And Marilyn, you can talk about setting up the TNCP. And then the third prong is also the LPGA Foundation, which is a lot about giving back so mm-hmm. that more girls can have a path to play, which is what Marilyn and all her girlfriends there put together to create for everyone.
Well, let's see. Which one do you want to talk about first? That was good.
Why don't you talk about the teaching and club professionals?
Oh, yeah. Well, in 1958, I was president at that time, and we took a vote to whether we could start an LPGA teaching division. And at that time, you know, we were still struggling to keep the tour going, so it was voted down. But the next year, we took a vote again, and you know what? It passed by one vote.
Oh, gosh.
So that's when the LPGA started, 1959, and we must have about 1,400 members now. And they're wonderful golf teachers, and we have many, many of them living here in Phoenix.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And we have 31 lady pros that are going to play in our tournament September 12th. And each pro is paired with 4 men and women amateurs. And so, Craig, you ought to play in that tournament.
I would love to play in it. Do you happen to know Pam Barnett?
Oh, yes.
I've taken several lessons from Pam. I've been a member at Moon Valley. I think she's one of the most incredible teachers I have ever come across. I mean, she's a disciple of Manuel de la Torre,
yes,
who I adore. I have his book. I've read it several times. I still suck at golf, but his book is really good.
Yeah, he's so bad at golf, right? That is so pathetic for you to even say.
You know, I was going to ask you, Marilyn, how you got the nickname Miss Personality, but I could see.
Yeah, it's really hard to figure out.
Yeah, I mean, do you have to ask?
I know. That's why I'm not asking. You are so delightful.
Well, you know,
it's really incredible.
What's interesting listening to you, Marilyn,
you're sweet to say that. Thank you.
Is that when you were starting off playing golf, and I can just picture the caravan going through North Dakota and South Dakota and places, but you became bonded as players and as friends, and now when you look at the LPGA. Not so much at the LPGA, but more the PGA. They're not friendly with each other.
Well, it's a global tour now, and I talked to Commissioner Juan about that. And, of course, their first priority is to get more tournaments in this country. You know, we only have, 12 or 13 tournaments in this country, and many overseas, 13, there's only 25 tournaments this year. So the economy is really hurt, mm-hmm. you know, that we've lost some tournaments, and but I think this next year we're going to have more. And getting back to this tournament we're having in March, where most of the money goes to the LPGA USG Girls Golf. And Commissioner Juan said about 6,500 girls take up the game of golf through this program.
Wow!
And if they can get more money for them for the LPGA USG Girls Golf, they'll have more programs in different cities. And he's hoping that 20,000 girls will take up golf.
Wow.
And just think, we might be able to get a lot more players to compete against the Asian players.
Exactly. You know, and golf is such a wonderful sport because not only do you learn how to play the game, you learn much more about yourself as a human being than you actually do about the game.
Boy, isn't that the truth.
And etiquette, and there's a lot. There's actually a lot.
Self-control and being personable and keeping your emotions under control.
I think the game just enriches your life in so many ways.
Yeah, it absolutely does.
Yeah. Yeah, and it is a bonding sport too.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Very much so. Celebration, yes. Commiseration, all of it.
Well, that's the beauty of fundraising tournaments. When you get into these modifying scrambles, you see people high-fiving each other and having the greatest of time.
I like scrambles.
Yeah. Over easy or with eggs? Okay. Marilyn, tell us a little bit about being the first, what it's like to be the first woman to work as a broadcaster on a men's golf telecast.
Oh, I was scared to death, I'll tell you that. It was at the U.S. Open at Oakmont, and I was up in the 16th Tower with Frank Gifford.
Oh, wow.
And he was so nice. And but I was afraid to talk. You know what I mean? I was afraid I was going to make a mistake. And I was a color commentator. But I did talk a little bit. But then I did the Colonial in Fort Worth, and that was fun, too.
I can't imagine you not talking, Marilyn.
Yeah.
Well, you know, when the men are up there and, let's don't go into that. I just felt I better not talk. I don't know what it was.
I bet you said plenty.
Well, I don't know. But anyway, that was fun. Barbara Romack was the first lady to commentate a women's golf tournament. It was the U.S. Open. I think it was 58 or 6. I can't remember the year, but she was the first lady pro to commentate a women's tournament. But it was fun, and Frank was just great. He was very, very nice.
Frank Gifford. Wow.
Frank Gifford, yeah.
Mm-hmm. He's been big time. Football.
Monday Night Football. That's what really made Frank really famous.
What's he doing now?
I don't know. I haven't heard what he's doing.
Well, you see him doing commercials for Monday Night Football.
Oh, he does?
Yeah.
Oh, does he?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Well, women have definitely come a long ways. In 1976, I was back in D.C. for the bicentennial, and I went to, of all places, the Watergate Hotel, and got a T-shirt. No, that was someone else. It was not me. I got a T-shirt that says on the front, "A woman's place is in the House."
Yeah.
And then on the back of it, it says, "And the Senate." And it was such a great T-shirt. And then I run for the House of Representatives, and I thought, oh, my gosh, it's coming true. Women's place is in the House.
Oh, good golly gumdrops.
That is cool. And when we come back from our break, we'll continue our discussion with in-studio guest Debbie Waitkiss from Golf for Cause and Marilyn Smith, who is a co-founder of the LPGA, and we'll be right back.
Are you able to ensure the safe driving and productivity of your employees? I'm Kara Lee with GPS Heroes, and with our plug-and-play GPS device, you can set geofences, get speeding alerts, and a full report card each week with driver reports and mileage, all to your computer or handheld device. It's easy to get and easy to use, in real time, with no service contracts. Just go to gpsheroes.org/21 and order yours today. That's gpsheroes.org/21.
At Beerham Baum and Spean PC, we want to help you work on your business, not in your business. We take a simple approach. You know your business. Our firm gives you the information to make those decisions better. Our firm takes a proactive approach to your accounting needs, and if you look behind the numbers, you'll find there are hidden opportunities that we try to impart on you. Communication is the key to that understanding, and there is no charge for brief phone calls. Contact us at 602-266-5633 or email us at mitch@jfbpc.com. Birnbaum & Spean works to increase your understanding of your business in order to make the decisions necessary to move your business forward.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac. This is The Entrepreneurial Spirit, starring Leanne Hull and Craig Dean. And in studio guest, special guest, Debbie Wakis, for actually, I should say, from Golf for Cause LLC. And on the line, we have Marilyn. What am I talking about? Marilyn Smith. And she's met many presidents. I wondered who were the other three. I think
four.
You said five.
Oh, she did. She did. She said two.
Yeah, you only said.
Well, I got off the track, I guess. After meeting President Kennedy, I forgot about the rest, didn't I?
Yes, you did.
Gerald Ford was one, and then the older George Bush. And you know, I can't remember in that awful. I can't remember the other one.
Well, was
Ronald Reagan?
No, darn it! I wish I could.
Carter.
Carter.
Nope.
Clinton.
Clinton. Yeah.
Nope.
George W. The younger
Johnson.
One.
Johnson.
Nixon.
Johnson, yeah.
Nixon.
Nixon.
Nixon was a golfer. He was a big golfer.
Yeah, so I met him back. I was on the President Physical Fitness Conference and went back and had breakfast with them and some other athletes there.
You didn't give Gerald Ford any lessons, did you?
No.
He certainly needed them.
You're funny. But you know what, George? Getting back to what you said about the early days, can I mention a few more things that were different than what they are now?
Uh-huh.
We played the courses very long. We played from the regular men's tees some way back.
You're 7,000 yards, 6,800?
6,250 to 7,000 yards long.
No way.
Yep, and the Concord Hotel didn't want the girls to shoot good scores, so we played 6,950.
Wow. And you were using old Tour Balata balls. How far, Marilyn, how far did you hit it back then?
Oh, my average was probably about 220, something like that. Babe Zaharias was 230.
Wow, so 6,900, you were hitting a lot of driver's three woods all day long.
Well, we had a rain, and the course played over 7,000 yards, and Shirley Englehorn had a 77 and 76-76, where were three tremendous scores then. And then another time that was terrific, we played in a 60-mile-an-hour wind, and Louise Suggs, with her precise, she had a very rhythmical swing, she shot a 78. This was at Skycrest Country Club in Chicago.
Wow.
In 1950 at the Weather Vane Tournament. I'll never forget that because I was playing with her, and Shirley Swark was too. And Shirley went up to hit a three-wood shot, and she lost her balance and whiffed the ball.
Oh.
And so Shirley and I died laughing. Of course, Louise was very serious, and she went on and plugged, but Shirley and I were just laughing at her whiffing.
You know, Marilyn, I really believe that the golfers were better in the 50s and 60s than they are now. First of all, the equipment you played with and the landscaping and manicuring of the golf courses. You were putting on greens that were probably a quarter of an inch in length.
Yes.
And you had to really use a wristy, you know, stroke to putt the ball to get it on top of the grass right away. You just didn't have the manicured condition and the equipment, and you guys were shot makers.
You sound like a pro.
He is.
Yeah. I remember one course in Oklahoma. I won't tell you where it is, but it was just mostly ground. There hardly any grass.
Mm-hmm.
And Betty Dodd hit a drive that kept rolling and rolling and rolling over 3 yards.
Wow.
And so you're right. The courses are in beautiful, beautiful shape now most of the time. And we played some tough courses, and I have to tell you one good thing, another good thing about the LPGA. You know, Althea Gibson was the first black player we had on the tour, and we went to a place in Texas, and they would not allow her into the clubhouse, so we canceled the tournament there and went.
Wow! Congratulations!
Yeah, we didn't have anything in our contract that said Caucasian only.
Wow.
And then the men did until one time. So that's a plus, you know.
That must have been one heck of a day for her when you players decided to do that on her behalf.
Oh, gosh, I tell you, we've had some you know, we were a small group of women, but we were from different towns, different backgrounds, but everybody had their own charisma and capabilities, you know, that came together to make it go. And a lot of people would say, well, gosh, did you ever think you were going to be playing for $45 million and, of course not. You just live one day at a time, you know, just struggle one day at a time to keep it going.
So let me ask you, who was the best woman golfer you played against?
Well, I think Mickie Wright, you know, she had the classic
swing.
Yeah,
she was amazing.
Terrific. And, of course, I'm a big fan of Kathy Whitworth, too. And Louise Suggs had a very smooth, rhythmical swing. And, of course, the Babe had more of a swashbuckling player.
Patty Berg was a pretty good player.
Oh, she was great, and she was a fierce competitor.
Yes.
And tremendous around the green. She was a great bunker player, and she was the first president of the LPGA. back in 1950.
So, Marilyn, what was it about golf that just made you who you are?
Well, what a question. I've never been asked that before. I think.
Wow, good one, Craig.
Nice.
Well,
I'm a professional.
Yes.
Well, it's a challenge. You know, it's a game you never master. And I had some tremendous golf pros that helped me. My home pro in Wichita got me started and had faith in me when I turned pro. Only two people really wanted me to turn pro, and that was my daddy and my pro, and, of course, Spalding. And I think traveling and meeting people, the people that you meet along the way, those smaller towns, you know, that, that helped us keep the tour going, like Spartanburg and Rockton, Illinois, and Carrollton, Georgia, where Louise Suggs' daddy was the head pro of this nine-hole golf course, so we had to play it twice.
Oh, wow.
Marilyn, you told me one time that there was a tournament and you didn't have enough money to split for all the gals, and then the people from the town basically passed the hat so the gal who'd finished last would have some money as well.
That's very true. It was in Waterloo, Iowa. We paid 18 places, and we had 19 players, so they passed the hat and gave her $100.
Oh, wow.
Isn't that terrific?
That is a great story.
And we had six or seven tournaments in Waterloo and made enough money. I think we made $7,000 by all those tournaments, and they were to help them get a new clubhouse. That was one nice place.
You know, you started out as a baseball player. I played baseball all my, you know, grade school and high school. I mean, that's the love of my life is baseball. But now I play golf, and I hold my club like I hold a baseball bat. I still can't get past that. And the guys, it drives the guys nutty when I play with them. They're like, why don't you hold it the right way? And it works for me. You know, I can still.
Then that's the right way.
Yes. Well, yeah, that works.
You're comfortable. You know, you have to be comfortable, right?
Yep.
Benny agrees.
Marilyn, who was your coach? Who was your instructor growing up?
Well, my pro was Mike Murrah, but then when I traveled, Elmer Priestcorn from Michigan would come on the Florida circuit and help quite a few of us, and then a chap in California. My gosh, I'm losing my memory. I think it'll come to me. But he gave me one of the most important pointers that I ever had given to me. You want me to tell you?
Sure.
Tell us.
Well, the forefinger and thumb of your right hand,
and
the toe of your club to the target. If you start your downswing down, you know, your right shoulder's back and your arms come down close to your body, and then the forefinger and thumb and toe of the club to the target. And when I could concentrate on that, that's when I played my best golf.
And here I thought you were going to say, hold your finish.
Oh, no. Oh, thank you. That's what I've been telling you. Well, Debbie has a good swing. Debbie's a real good player.
Yes, she is. I've seen her in action.
Well, good. I have. I've seen her hit a couple of balls, and that's about it. But she's got a super swing and a great attitude, and that's what helps. I've never seen her throw a club.
No, I've never thrown a club.
Marilyn, when you were playing, what was the average length of time for each round? Did you play a round in 4 hours on the LPGA?
Well, it depended on the course, you know, I don't know, it maybe 4.5.
Because you know the guys on the tour now are playing 5 hour rounds of golf, 5 hour and 15 minutes.
Well, it's always been a problem, but they keep working on it. You know, I think it's going to get better.
Do you think that's a result of too much coaching, too many psychology coaches, and overthinking and too much routine, pre-shot routines?
No, I hadn't thought about that, George. Craig, I mean.
that's okay. She's confusing you with the president.
Well, you can call me
Don't
David.
Don't let it go to your
and
head.
And you can call me David, too.
That's only if she's mad at you.
I don't know. I hadn't thought of that. Debbie, what do you think? You answer that question.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I think that if they're letting them get away with it, they're letting them get away with
it
as opposed to calling it tighter.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't know the reason why. You know, maybe they are overcoached. I don't know. But, you know, back in the early days, we did not have a recreate. What do you call those places where they go in and train? Training
right,
facility.
Yeah, training facility, yes.
If anybody wanted to train, we just go out and hit more golf balls.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And so they have that advantage now, which we didn't have. And, of course, psychology, you know, we didn't go to a psychologist to learn how to think on the course. And they have that facility now, so a lot of things have changed.
For the better or for the worse? What do you think?
Well, probably for the better, don't you think? When you're training and look how strong Annika's become since she worked in the training room, you know, she'd play golf, and how far she hits the ball. And look at Lorena Ochoa, little gal, how far she hits it.
And amazing, she retired at age, what, 27 or 28?
I think she'll come back and play some more, don't you?
I would hope so. She's a great personality.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I've had the opportunity to play down in Florida where Annika lives on the course, and she will be out there on the driving range. And she's very friendly. She's very not, you know, just unpretentious. It was a beautiful place she lives, too.
Oh, well, good. Now, you didn't play golf with her, though, did you?
I didn't play with her. I played on the course, no.
Well, good. Marilyn, maybe we need to invite her for the tournament.
Well, that would be wonderful.
and she shot the 59 at Moon Valley. I actually followed her all 18 holes that day.
I can call her up since I waved to her.
Yeah, that'd be fine. Well, you know, we're trying to honor the older ones, but that would be great if she could come. It would be just awesome. I asked Arnold Palmer, I said, why don't you just fly in on your plane and hop off and surprise everybody at lunch and then go back out and on your plane and go home? But he didn't do it.
You want to know something that's interesting? Today is the last day that Arnold Palmer will ever fly a plane again.
Why?
Why?
I just read an article. Today his license expired at age 81, and he has decided that he's not going to renew it. And today is his last day of flying an airplane.
Well, I guess we can invite him to fly in the next
No, someone will have to fly for him.
So is he flying? Maybe he's flying right now.
Flying right now. He would be great to bring in for something like
that. Wouldn't that be super?
We'll have to send him tickets, Marilyn. He sponsored the event last year.
Did he?
He was one of the sponsors.
Well, he was one. Yeah, he gave us some 5 items signed. And Jack Nicklaus gave us 5 books. And $1,000.
Oh.
You know, that would be great to have Nicklaus and Palmer in for something like that. I mean, it's easy to say that. I know they have very busy schedules.
Oh, they're
busy.
Yeah.
But Marilyn, you're the queen.
Yes. If anybody could do it, you can do it.
And when we come back from our break, we'll continue our discussion with Marilyn Smith and Debbie Waitkiss, and we'll be right back.
Ridenour, Hyten & Lewis is a multi-practice law firm, ideally equipped to assist with a broad range of legal and business issues in corporate and financial transactions, real estate, commercial, litigation, bankruptcy, and private client practice. Ridenour, Hyten & Lewis is a law firm that bases its practice on understanding the businesses of their clients, and they use this insight to meet each client's unique and evolving legal challenges. Call or click today. 602-254-9900. Find them on the web at rhkl-law.com.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac. And I hear some
Marilyn's
doggies.
Here.
This is, I didn't know if that was Kurt playing a doggy sound or if it's the real Benny. I think it's Benny and the Jets.
Benny and the Jets, that's right.
You remember that one. And we have, of course, Marilyn Smith with the little doggy.
I liked the barking dogs. Remember that Christmas?
Oh, yeah, that was a good one.
Yeah, that was.
Oh, yeah,
good,
who let the dogs out? And Debbie Waitkiss, Golf for Cause, LLC. Now, Debbie, you were telling us a cute little story that you may want to share.
Well, Marilyn, I was telling him the story when we were doing the tournament last year, and that Arnold Palmer had signed the putter, and we wanted to get him to sign the face of the putter as well.
Yes.
And so you had called him and to have that happen and maybe to get some other things from him as well. And you called what you thought was his office number and ended up calling his cell phone, which his wife answered. And she told you, oh, no, no, I'll get him from the shower.
You rascal, you.
So, of course, you know, he said anything for you, Marilyn. And then I think it may have even been later on in our meeting or something, and we were talking about trying to get a package for the Masters, and you were trying to remember you'd played there, but you thought everyone maybe had passed away already, and you're thinking, oh, I don't know anyone who could help me with that. And I said, Marilyn, if Arnie gets out of the shower for you.
He's going to get us some tickets. Oh, that's funny.
That's a great story. Now, how did both of you meet, Debbie and Marilyn?
Well, I think, Marilyn, were you inducted in 2005 or 2006 into the...
2006.
And I attend the Golf 2020 conference, which is like a think tank for the industry every year. And in looking at how we're trying to grow the game for the future, we honor the past at the same time. And Golf 2020 happens at the same time as the induction to the World Golf Hall of Fame. And Marilyn happened to be inducted that year, so I was at her induction ceremony. And... was so inspired by the stories that she was telling in her acceptance speech, I wrote a story about her. I wrote an article, and that which was published. And then fast forward a couple of years, Peggy Gustafson, who is a local teaching LPGA teaching professional, was talking at an event about this tournament going on, and it was Marilyn Smith, blah, blah, blah. And I said, Marilyn, Marilyn with two N's? There can't be more than one of those. And she said, yeah. And I said, well, I thought she lived in Texas. And she said, no, she moved here. So I thought, well, I need to get involved in this. And I told Peggy the story about having written the story about Marilyn. And she said, well, send it to me, and I'll take it over to Marilyn, because you didn't have a computer then. And so she took her the story. And then I think the next day, Marilyn, you phoned me. And
got you out of the shower.
Actually, I was up at True North for another event, and we were talking on the phone, and you had asked me if I had already signed up. I told you I had my team in place, and you asked me my home course, and I told you it was Papago. And you asked me, well, do you suppose they might give us a foursome for our tournament? And I told you that I thought they probably would. Worst they could do is say no. And your response to me was, well, are you going to call him or am I? So it was shortly after that I met Mary. I think the first time I met you face-to-face was at your tournament that September. So it would be a couple of years ago. And it's
been friends ever since.
Yeah, it's been, you were a blessing in my life.
Well, you're a blessing to me. Thank you for that, Debbie. You're great. We're having a tournament meeting tomorrow.
Yes, we are.
Committee meeting. And over here, and don't forget now, Craig, we want you to play in this.
I will.
We might be able to get you
a wig.
You don't have to pay.
He has a dress.
And a wig.
Can I tell you something that might be, we had some violence on the tour a couple of times.
Go ahead. Yeah. Violence?
I was robbed at knife point one time.
No way.
I won't go into that, but the most frightening moment was when Margie Masters and I were shot at during the second round of a Florida tournament.
No.
Yep. I was getting ready to hit my second shot, a 5-iron shot on a par 4, 15th hole, and I thought, gosh, I'm not lined up properly, so I stepped back, and a .45 Magnum bullet went right by where I'd been standing.
No way.
Yeah. And it hit the ground about a foot from our scorekeeper's foot, and she hit the ground, and my caddy, we all hit the ground. And there was a Monsignor, Kelly, was there, and he came over and he said, well, I'll go out. There was an out-of-bounds and a great grove of trees there, and that's where the shot had come from. So he went out there with his arms outstretched and said, come on out, whoever you are, it's okay. We won't, you know, harm you or anything. So he came back, and about 45 minutes later, the tournament director came over and said it was okay to finish playing. So when I was getting ready to go home, this fella came up and said, do you want to meet the most wonderful man in the world? And first, of course, I thought of, you know, Jesus Christ, and then, excuse me, Daddy, and then my dad.
You could have said Moses.
Or Abraham.
Anyway, so he said, well, it was the fella target shooting. And he just happened to miss the target about five or six times. And so we went home and we played the tournament. And about 6 months later, this Monsignor Kelly, we were up at a tournament in New York, and he said, "Do you want to come into the bar? I want to tell you about what happened out there." Well, I didn't drink at that time, but I went and he had his scotch, you know. And we sat down and he said, "You were one lucky girl. It was a sniper." And he was dressed in purple, and he got on his motorcycle and got away before I could get his license plate. And you were one lucky girl that you weren't killed. So that's
why do you think he was shooting at you?
Well, I don't know. He shot four or five shots around, you know, aiming at different people. It just happened that I stepped back, or I would have been killed on the spot.
Wow.
You know?
Wow.
But I'm just lucky.
That would have ruined our radio show.
No kidding.
Craig, you're something else. I want to meet you.
I know. I was very sad that you weren't here today.
Well, it just goes to show you, when you're standing over your ball and you're still talking and not convinced about the shot, take
pre-shot
a step back.
Pre-shot routine is very important.
No wonder they have 5.5-hour rounds.
There you go. That was a 5.5-hour because we waited there. We couldn't play, you know, for 45 minutes.
Why, they were looking for the bullet and the sniper?
No, they're trying to find if anybody, he went out.
Make sure they were safe.
Well, now the important question, did you par that hole?
Yes, I was shaking, and I made the cut, too.
Very good.
God was good.
That is an incredible story.
Yeah. Wow.
You don't hear stuff like that.
No.
Well, I'm trying to get someone to help me write my memoirs, because I've got so many stories to tell. And
I
have a friend in Dallas who said he would help me, but I've got to come up with $50,000, so I don't think I'm going to be able to do that.
No, you don't, Marilyn. I'll take care of you, honey.
Okay. I'll do it for $25.
You know what? We could do a golf tournament to raise the money for her book.
Oh, there you go.
There you go.
Well, who would do that? Who knows? People wouldn't want to do that.
George would do it.
George, okay, George.
So, Debbie, tell us a little bit how your stuff all integrates in with golf.
Well, with Golf for Cause, I like to say we help people turn golf into gold. And everyone defines that gold a little bit differently. For someone like Marilyn, it's about now generating some more revenue for her scholarship fund and doing some outreach. For some companies, it's more about employee development or client development or client appreciation, things along those lines. And for some also, especially a lot of women, it's how to get golf in your toolbox. Right, Leanne? Mm-hmm. So
that's
you can
right.
drink beer with the guys on and off the course.
Yes.
And so we do a lot of different types of programs that are a little bit more fun and empowering. We do corporate learning, whether it's team building programs, entrepreneurial training, where we use golf as the anchor for the learning. And we do some Get Golf in Your Toolbox programs. We do on-course mentoring programs called Nine and Wine. We do those once
I like
a month.
That.
And all fun, empowering. We try to look at who's the audience and how do you put something together that will kind of come across and be successful for them.
And you have a lot of programs. I'm reading up on this, like Mental Mulligans.
Yes, it's a team building program that we do, which is a hoot.
And then Tee Off program.
And that's a way to learn about how to play in a golf tournament so that you can put your best foot forward and not feel like you don't know what you're doing and that you'll embarrass yourself. And a lot of those are experiential so that you can actually have done something instead of just talking about it.
So it is kind of intimidating. I know for me when I first started learning how to play golf, because you're learning primarily, there's not a huge force of women out there to teach you. So I was learning from men who'd been playing. Well, the one guy who really took the time to teach me, he had lost one of his eyes in the military. And so we called him One-Eyed Bob.
Oh, no.
That's why I golf so strange. No, but you know what? There was no pretentiousness about him. And he allowed me, I know this will probably horrify you, but he allowed me to tee my ball up all the way down.
You know what? If that's what it takes.
Because that's how I learned. And I wasn't embarrassed. And then I could, you're laughing. That's how I learned and I got better, because I didn't have these huge expectations and I didn't feel intimidated by him.
I think we're going to end it at that, because the end of the show is already here. Can you believe it? Marilyn,
Craig can't stop laughing.
And Debbie,
can you
thank
say
you.
That online?
That is funny. What contact information, Debbie, can we get? And then Marilyn for your tournament coming up. Debbie,
well,
first.
golfforcause.com, golfforcause.com is our website. And for Marilyn's tournament, you can contact me at Golf for Cause as well.
That is excellent. And the tournament's coming up when again?
It's on September 12th, but there's the Founders Tournament that's on March 16th through the 20th. That will be at the JW Marriott Hotel, and you can go to the lpga.com for that.
That would be great. That's
I want everybody to go out and watch the best women golfers in the world play golf.
We're going to do
it. We'll be there.
Thank you, Marilyn. What a pleasure.
Absolutely. I can see why you're Miss Personality.
Oh, absolutely. Thank you so much. And Debbie, thank you so much. This has been great.
Yeah.
We're going to have both of them on again.
Absolutely. Oh, darn.
This time live in person.
Marilyn,
right?
You have to come on the show next time in person.
Yes, I will. Thank you.
And we'll bring Benny.
Yeah. Yeah, Benny in the chats. And we'll.
And you bring One-Eyed Bob.
Yeah. Is he still around?
One-Eyed
Bob still around?
Thank you.
And hold your finish.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. This is unique and interesting at the same time. Anyway, again, thank you, Debbie. Thank you, Marilyn.
Thank you,
Dave. And we'll see everyone tomorrow for the Bottom Line and the Green Roundtable. Everyone have a great night.